Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. I never read that verse 6 or verse 5 and 6 without thinking of something I heard one time about an old color tree. You'll notice it refers to the north, south, east, and west. And this old color brother, he got up and he thank the Lord that many were going to come from the east and from the west and from the north, but only a few from the south. So I guess you know what was running through his mind. Now I want to continue our studies on this remarkable passage of Scripture. We were speaking last week about the many waters. Though thou passest through the waters, thou shalt not be drowned, nor through the flood, they shall not overflow thee, and through the fire, and thou shalt not be burned. What is the source of these waters and this fire that we read about here? The source is possibly many, but I'll mention four of them. The world, the flesh, and the devil, and nature taking its course. Now the world will cause a Christian to have to pass through very unpleasant circumstances, through waters that are chilly and cold and rough. Persecution from the world. The world is no friend of grace. The Lord Jesus could say, marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. Can you conceive of this world hating the Lord Jesus Christ? The Son of the Living God, who came into this world to lay down his life for sinful man. He came into this world to do his Father's good will. He came into this world that he might do good to man. He had good in his heart. He healed the sick and all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good. And yet one who came from the good, with one object in mind, to do the world good, to bless humanity, and yet the world hated him. Marvel not if the world hate you, it hated me. Well, if it hated the Lord Jesus, the sinless, holy, righteous Son of God, don't you think it's going to hate those who follow him and adhere to his word? The Lord Jesus is giving encouragement to his people. Don't be disturbed, don't be alarmed, don't be upset if the world turns a cold shoulder to you. They did the same to me. And then the flesh, that fallen sinful nature that is in the heart of man. When you become a Christian, you don't get rid of that old nature. You wish you could, but you don't. You can't get rid of it. It's there, and it'll be there till you die. And it'll give you all the trouble it can give you on your way to heaven. The devil knows he can't keep you out of heaven. That's certain you're going to heaven. But it'll give you all the trouble and all the misery he can on the way to heaven. And he'll do it by using the world to persecute you. He'll do it by tempting that evil nature within you and trying to get you to disobey God and do things a Christian should not do. The devil will do his best to set snares for the feet of young Christians. And he's the roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour. And so the world of flesh and the devil can cause the child of God to go through these waters, through these floods, and through this fire. But then also nature taking its course. That's painful sometimes. You go and you see some fine Christian. You can look upon a young person and there's no hope. The doctors can do nothing. Oh, how the doctors wish sometimes they could. And Christians pray and seem to pray in vain. Why? Nature's taking its course. The very same thing that works and operates, the same principle that works and operates in the unconverted, operates in the Christian. The Bible distinctly says that sin worketh in you to bring forth fruit unto death, and our outward man perisheth. And we can't stop it. The outward man perisheth, but the inward man, the spiritual man, is renewed day by day. And in the measure the inner man is being renewed day by day, in that measure I can accept the fact that the outward man perished. Undoubtedly there have been times when it has pleased God to reverse the laws of nature for a little while. There have been times when miracles have been performed. But that's only a temporary thing. That person has got to die eventually. God raised Lazarus from the dead, only for him to die later on. And so nature is taking its course. And this means rough waters sometimes, deep waters, cold waters. And it means going through the fire, these extremes, from cold water to hot flame. Yes, that's like the Christian's life, one extreme to the other. As the mother said to her son one day when he came screaming, running into her arms, she said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "A big bumblebee's after me." "Well, son, you might as well learn it early in life. That's what life is, one thing after another." And so it is. And this is the life of the Christian. You know, life is not one fight or one skirmish or one battle. Life is a campaign. Life is a constant conflict for the Christian. The world against the Christian, and in faith is Christian against the world. As Martin Luther King said when he was being persecuted for his faith, this stands for the word of God, one of his friends, supposedly, said, "Martin Luther, don't you see the ecclesiastical world is against it? The political and the military world is against Martin Luther, all the world's against. Then," said Luther, "I'm against Paul Lewis." What did you do with a man like that? That's the point. Yes, the world is against the Christian. And he has got an aid of us and opposed the strong current of the world. And so life is a constant conflict. When you get up every morning, about the first one to get in the first lift will be the devil or the flesh. But there's where the Christian's opportunity comes in to get something from the Lord first thing in the morning that will sustain you and strengthen you through the day. And so this is life. We must go through the water. We must go through the river. We must go through the fire, tribulation, persecution, and physical suffering. I was in the home one day this week and happened to mention to a party who was going through deep waters. And I said, well, we've got to go through either early in life or in middle life or in later life. And I'm going to mention the name of her personality that quite a few knew. Mrs. Cutler. When she first started coming to the chapel 18 years ago, she was 86 years of age. And she told me one day, she said, do you know, I have never had a headache in my entire life. Well, I tell you, that certainly came home to me, for I had many of them, and at that time I had some. I thought, how could a person go through life for 86 years and not have a headache? And she had a wonderful life, good health, an alert mind, fine circumstances, the wife of Dr. Cutler. And my, she had a wonderful life, a smooth life, the waters were smooth as a lake. Nothing to worry her about. All was dark. But something happened when she was 86. She had cancer. And she was taken into the hospital for an operation on that cancer. And when she came out, Dr. Cutler went in and he died. Later on, she had a second operation for that cancer. She went into the hospital with pneumonia. Then, her only son, Milton, died. And then she fell and broke her hip. And she had it one thing after another the last 8 years of her life. She died at 94. She went by to pick her up about 2 years before she died and found her on the floor with a broken hip. But I might say the saddest thing of those 8 years out of her life was toward the end. She was possessed with fear. Whether she disclosed this to others, I don't know. Time and time again when I went into school, Brother Wilson, I'm afraid I'm not saved. I'm afraid I'm not saved. And you could see, she meant, and time and time again, we had to go over the simple way of salvation with her. And here was this merry, jolly soul. For 86 years, she had not passed through deep waters, not even shallow. She had not gone through the fire. But she did the last 8 years of her life. We have to go through sometime or another. There may be an odd soul, a rare soul that escaped, but this is life for God's people. This was true of Israel. It's true of God's people today. And so he says, though thou passest through the waters, they shall not overflow thee, and through the flood, they shall not drown thee, and as thou goest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. There's no bridge, there's no boat, there's no tunnel that will enable you to escape these waters. These waters will never flow down, and this fire will never go out. As long as the Christian's in this world, he's going to face the waters and take the fire of persecution, maybe a physical son. God had one son without sin, but he never had one child without sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered, yet he was sinless. Yet we have sin in us. That's why we do suffer. We're still in the body. But it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from sin as for our salvation. But being saved by grace doesn't guarantee that life is going to be smooth. Why, here are the disciples and the Lord told them to get into the ship and go to the other side. And they hadn't gone far before a storm came upon the lake. And it was a bad storm. The disciples could have said one to another, now this is strange. Are we not in the Lord's will? Did he not tell us to get into the ship and go to the other side of the lake? And we did it. and hear the storms upon the lake. We don't read of one who said, listen, brother, the Lord said something, go to the other side. Now, if he means what he says, we're going to get the other side. We're not going to drown in the storm. But they were full of fear. And he came unto them walking upon the water. And to be in the will of God doesn't mean to say we're not going to encounter storm and rough water. That's been the lot of God's people down the centuries, it will be until the Lord comes. Of all the advance in medical science and in new drugs and techniques and equipment, there are still more sick people than doctors can attend. We don't have enough doctors going up. Hold the sick on the right hand and on the left. And Christians are not exempt from these sicknesses and these troubles. God wants us to realize this fact. It would be a sad story if I were to end my sermon there, just telling you the dark side of the rivers and the waters and the fires and the experiences and Christians' life and circumstances. They have nothing to do with and can't stop as the fire gets hotter as the days go by. But thank God there is something bright in this passage. In this very verse, verse 2, if thou passest, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the flood they shall not overflow. Yes, I will be with thee. And so to this poor, sick, dying, groaning, dying world, we can thank God. We need not be swallowed up or drowned by the waters that are surrounding us, and who seek to swamp us and kill the very soul of the Christian. He said, I will be with thee. I will do it. And these things need not divide us from him, and they can't divide us. This is something we need to get a hold of. And it's the very thing that we tried and pressed upon as Catholics in some of those closing days, that no matter what the Christian path is, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We may not like these waters. We may not like these trials, fiery trials that Peter speaks of. But one thing is sure, they cannot destroy it. That would be destruction. That would be a tragedy. Why can't these circumstances, why can't these experiences destroy the Christian? Because the position in Christ, and Christ says, I am with you. That's why. That's why you cannot be destroyed. You have that over in Romans 8, 35. What does he say in Romans 8 and 35? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, shall nakedness, peril of sword? No. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, neither things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the flood drown it. You find in Song of Solomon chapter 8, and I think verse 6. Oh, the love of God. Many waters cannot quench the love of God. Neither can the flood drown it. He says, I will be with you. I'll be with you. Isn't it wonderful to have that as truth? He's with you. If we knew what this meant, the conscious presence of God, and if we had the faith, you'd look at these circumstances and say, whoa, waters go. Burn, fire, burn. The Lord's with you. You can't destroy it. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Not when we walk through lovely meadows, and flower gardens and pleasant places, argued Iggy. Although he assuredly is, though we don't feel the need of them, eh? When the sun's shining and all is going well, why, it's wonderful to know I'm a Christian. But when the trials, the testings come, and we're going into those cold, chilly, swift-running waters, trials, physical, muscles, oh, it's wonderful day. It's worth, I would say this, it's worth being saved just for the final payoff alone. Because when death waters roll, he says, I'll be here. And to know that when death does, I have the assurance the Lord will be with me in. That's the great payoff to becoming a Christian. You know when you're dying, you're going to heaven. So we find these waters, these rivers, and the fires, they can't stop resisting. You're going through them. They can't stop the march of the fish. And I love that word. Though thou passest through the waters, thou shalt not be drowned. And through the floods, they'll not overflow thee. Passest through. You're not going to stop before them. You're not going to be stopped in them. You're going through to the other side. He says that. He says, my presence is with you, and you have my word, you're going to the other side. You'll be in heaven at last. If I had to go through Liverpool fire, you know what I'd do? I would jump, I would leap, I would run as soon as quick as I could. But you can't do that with these waters or this fire. It means 60 minutes to the hour, 24 hours to the day. And all these minutes, these hours, these days, these weeks, these months are awfully long and suffering. You can't hurry through. You can't speed up the pace of justice. Hour after hour, day after day. But he says, I am with you. And you shall not be burned. I love the 23rd Psalm, where he says in that 23rd Psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Oh, the fear. I'll have no fear. But thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort. The Eastern Shepherd, when he's leading his flock through some of those valleys in the east, there are three valleys that are very notable where shepherds had to lead their flock, and possibly still do, to get the good pastures. And at night, sometimes on a full moon, there are lurking shadows. A beast, it could be a hyena, or a wolf, or a lion. There are shadows. As the shepherd is leading his flock through, he wants to get through as quickly as possible. There are caves. There are always lurking caves. Do you know what the shepherd does? He's speaking all the time to his sheep. And the Bible says, and history proves it, they know their sheep by name. And in order to keep the sheep from seeing those shadows, those lurking dangers, the shepherd is speaking to his sheep. To let them know he's there. He has the rod in his hand to defend them against the wild beast. And the sheep, they crowd closer to the shepherd and to one another as he calls. Ah, yes, he's in the midst of them. He's there to protect them. He's there to assure them they're safe because he is there. That's the point. When thou passest through the water, thou shalt not be drowned, and through the rivers they shall not overflow, and through the fire thou shalt not be burned. Shouldn't these experiences in life bring us closer to him and to one another? When all one member suffers, all the members suffer. All the members suffer with it. And thus we have the assurance from our Lord that we're safe through all life, temptation, and time. Fear thou not, he says, I am with thee. This is his frequent utterance. I am with thee is his fervent assurance. You may not be able to see the way. None of us can see all the way, but the way is safe. Because he is with us, and he has promised us nothing to be forbidden. I am with thee where? I am with thee in the deepest sorrow. In all thy afflictions, he says, I'm afflicted. Isn't that wonderful? He said that to Israel. In all their afflictions, I am afflicted. And he says in the New Testament, he's touched with the very feelings of our infirmity. He was tempted and tried in all points like this, the synagogue. To think the Lord Jesus is touched with the very feelings of our infirmity. Not our sin, our infirmity, our physical infirmity, circumstantial infirmity. He's touched. He says, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of mine eye. He said to Saul of Tarsus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? In what way was Saul of Tarsus persecuting the Lord Jesus? By persecuting his people on earth. They were the members of the body of Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, Saul, what you're doing to those members of my body, you're doing to me. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? Well, that's what you're doing when you're persecuting my people. Showing the closeness of the bond between Christ and the Christian. Why persecuted us? Oh, do we realize our nearness to the Lord Jesus Christ when the sun is shining and when it's not. He is with us in secret, conscious, sustaining power. That's what my Bible says. Like the burning bush in the desert in Exodus chapter 3, a picture of the future sufferings of Israel. There's that bush burning in the desert. Yet not consumed. Why? God was in the burning bush. For when Moses approached unto the burning bush, God spake from the burning bush, Moses, take your shoes off your feet to the place whereon you stand, is holy ground. Don't come any closer. God was in the bush. And that bush was not consumed. God has been in Israel. The nation of Israel. That's why Israel has not been consumed. I am Jehovah, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And although many nations that have been larger than Israel over the centuries no longer exist or have been swallowed up among other nations, Israel is still a nation today. No nation has survived the centuries or the water of persecution and the fires of time, like his little Israel. Time and time again, men have tried to exterminate that nation. They haven't been able to do it. God says, they are mighty. Thou sons of Jacob. The reason you're not destroyed is because I haven't changed. I am Jehovah, I change not. I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that you would be the one that would bring my son into this world. You would be the nation that would give to the world my precepts. And although you're going through deep water, eventually you'll reign and Christ will be your king. And God says, I haven't changed. That promise still remains. That's why Israel is where she is at this present time. If that's true of Israel, it's certainly true of the church. For he said concerning Israel, you're graven on the palms of my hand. But in speaking of the church, he says you're part of my hand. Israel, members of my body. We're nearer to him than Israel ever could be. The church is in that close proximity to the saints. Not consumed. Israel is that burning bush in the desert. A burning testimony in the wilderness. And in the wilderness of this world, there is the Jewish nation. Anything can convince any person with a wise and honest mind. He's got to admit there's something about that people, that nation, that's not true of any other. He's been a witness to that effect. There she is, burning testimony in the desert and a radiant glow during the long, long night. How wonderful you have in verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Can you find any warmer language than that? I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. That's what that is. The self-existing one. I am the Lord, thy Savior. I am the self-existing one. He says this to Israel. And I am the Holy One, which simply means he can't lie. If a person could lie, he's not holy. Honesty and holiness go together. God says, I'm holy. I will not lie. Have I not said, and will I not do it? Have I not spoken, and will I not bring it to pass? I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. God says, I'm holy. I am the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, the holy one. The one who will keep his word is integrity unto the end. So he's reminding Israel here, the one who is with them during the fire, but oh, Jehovah, can't you put the fire down? Oh, can't you stop those waters from flowing? Can't you stop those storms from breaking on our national life? Yes, I could have. But don't forget, you disobeyed me. If you had honored my precepts, if you had kept my word, life would have been different for you. You brought a lot of this upon yourself when you turned to idolatry. Israel has invited her present child. The Son of God came. Here was her great test. He produced all the evidence. He was the Son of God. He was there in the sight. And they said, away with this man. Crucify him. You will not have this man to rule. He may be perfect. He may perform miracles and outstanding things and claim that he's the fulfillment of prophetic truth. But we're not going to let him reign on. That was their sin. We'll not have this man reign over us. That's why people today are in their sins and going to hell. They do not want the authority, the jurisdiction of the Son of God in their life. It's possible for a Christian to go that far. Yes, I accept the Lord Jesus. I know I'm saved. But I want my life, the government in my life, in my hands. I don't want his supreme authority. I don't want him to be Lord. He says, I am the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He's my Savior. He wants to be my sovereign. He wants to reign in my life. Just as Israel as a nation has brought untold miseries upon themselves because of their disobedience to the word of the Lord, so Christians today have brought many storms breaking on their little shore because they've been disobedient to the word of the Lord. How remarkable that he hasn't. He said, I'm with you. Not an angel's with you. Not a man is with you. I, the Holy One, I'm with you. how remarkable verse 4 is. Precious, honorable, loved, we cost them. Particularly he could use his language concerning Israel as a nation and concerning us as his people today. Oh, how wonderful, how tender, how intimate are these things. I says your precious, your honor, your love, my love. He cost them, he gave his son to die, that we might be. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, there's sad news for you. These waters I've been speaking about, you're going to go through them. And although they're rough for the Christian, they'll be more rough for you. You'll have to pray these billows alone. You'll have to go through these swift waters alone with no divine assistance. Your little bark won't stand up to stray when the billows go. Ah, no. You will not swim through these cold waters. You will sink beneath them. Jordan's current is too swift for you to navigate. Jordan's icy waters will sweep you off your feet. Sweep you to your doom. No Savior with you. You cry for help. There's no response. And you're being caught up with the whirlpool of death to be sucked into the everlasting burning. A fire that shall never dwell. A flame that will never cease. All because you haven't received Christ as your Savior. You haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't trusted. Therefore you navigate this life alone. And then you face death. Although I said to many a person on a sick death, you may get through life without him, but you'll find it awfully hard to get through death without the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how sad, how solemn to see a person slip from time into eternity without the Savior. Lost. Lost for death. Oh, that you were unsaved this morning. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him here and now. Hear what did he say on the cross? All thy ways, thy billows have gone over me. Those waves and billows of divine judgment that I experienced. I deserved thy merits. They went over him. And from above thou hast sent fire into my bones. That fire should have broken on me. That fire broke on him instead. Now he says to all who say, as for your life, I'll be with you in all your trials and tribulations. And when you come to die, I'll be there. When loved ones' voices and presence fade from your mind and memory, there'll be something that'll sustain you through Jordan's rough times. There'll be something that'll be whispering to you constantly. Be not afraid. It is I. It is I. He'll take you through. He'll be with you. You'll no more sink in death's cold waters than keep it safe. The ark couldn't drown, go down with Noah and his family in it because God was in the ark. God said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God didn't say, go in as if you were outside telling the wind. He says, come in. I'm in here. That's true. When a person's a Christian, Christ is in the heart. He's there all during life's storm. Finally, as we go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no fear. Thou art with me. Could you ask no more. It's yours, Lord, for the take. Free transportation to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,